public input, and we do have four, and I think everybody knows the three-minute time and the buzzer and all of that, so I won't reiterate all that. So I'm going to call you up two at a time. George Luttrell and Tim Hamilton, please. And George, you kick her off.
Is there anything else? Commissioners?
No.
Well, thank you all for letting me come up and speak. My name is George Luttrell. I'm the new town council president here in Washington. You know, I'm just wanting to public output on, since it is kind of the beginning to setting the seasons, a meeting last week, the other day. I want to bring up that I want to work with the state to help our hounds, since we've had a black eye the last couple of months in the media and all that stuff, to bring up, you know, our hound season in October, November, when modern firearm season is. We can't run our dogs, can't exercise them, really, to let them go. So I'm asking to put in consideration a training season in, like, August, September, you know, bring it into September when we hunt, so we can help our dogs go and to basically help train our dogs so we can have a successful hunting season, you know, and since it's a few months shy on October and November. And then I lost my thoughts. And then help us bring back more of the houndmen from that went to Idaho, Oregon, because our seasons are short, or, you know, have a real hard time bringing in members of the hound community, and to help them basically bring back to Washington and, you know, try to build up and work with the state to help out with the cougars or bears or, you know, anything big game. But I'd like to see, hopefully, you know, bring back the smaller games like coyote and possibly bobcat. I'm not one big game, or, you know, at all for the most part, except training or safety purposes to help us train our dogs and for public safety, because we all know that, you know, our dogs are athletes, and if they're not well trained, you know, if you guys call a houndman out to help with a safety issue, you know, they're not going to be the best, because they got to go out of state to train their dogs, because it can't run cat in Washington. So I'd like to help work with that a little bit through the management on that part also. So, you know, I didn't really like seeing the black eye with the press with what happened down in Cowlitz County. You know, it just seemed like the media kind of ran with the dogs. I mean, it wasn't all about the elk and the deer and or whatnot. It just seemed like the media focused on the hounds. And that scared a lot of my members to the point where they wouldn't exercise their dogs. They wouldn't have their dog box in the back of their trucks. I've had my dog poisoned. I've had antifreeze dumped in my box because it's...
That's horrible about your dog. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Being a father of English setters over the years...
Yeah, I can't have kids.
A 2x4, but yeah.
I can't have kids, so the hounds are my kids.
Barbara?
So what's the difference between a training season and a regular season?
Your training season is basically your preseason, to get your dogs in the shape and to, because they're athletes, you know, just like football players. They have, you know, have preseason and, you know, their workouts and all that stuff. So when it comes hunting season, you know, they're ready to go. They are in shape, they're ready to go, and they're going to be on the top of their game.
So sorry to elaborate, but do you actually shoot the animal that your dogs are training with, or
no?
It's
basically what they call a pursuit season.
All right.
So yeah, there's no killing involved, no guns, no nothing. It's just training. And
yeah, Commissioner Keeney.
Appreciate you testifying, and I hung out with Bart George for a few days with his dogs, and that bond between the dogs, you know, it's hard to describe, I guess. But maybe you could emphasize a little bit that, you know, in a pursuit season or in a training season, you know, very little harm comes to the animal you're pursuing. What are the type of animals you would be pursuing? And again, the importance of that to when the department has, you know, a need to take out an animal that has caused damage or killed livestock or whatnot, how hard it is for them to get, you know, good qualified dogs there in a timely manner, because it has to be done quickly.
Yeah.
Just talk a little bit about that. And the pursuit season itself, you know, what happens, and eventually you tree an animal, your dogs are called off, they've learned, they've exercised, but...
Yeah, it's, you know, that's it, you know. They've learned, you know, and just go on.
And the animals... You leave. The animal comes out of the tree. And is it cougars, bears? I mean, what are you pursuing during training season?
The training season right now is our small game, just for raccoons. Since we lost that during the modern firearm seasons, we can't run our dogs. Even though it says in the rules that our season starts September 1st and goes until the 15th of March, but in there it says we can't run hounds during modern firearm seasons. That's active in the modern firearm season. So, you know, I was thinking of putting consideration if we can have an August training season for just small game raccoons as it stands and currently, to help us run our dogs, get them in the shape, and that way we have a successful September, because come October, middle, you know, we got modern firearm, so we have September's just a, you know, real early start to the game.
Sure. I assume that you've started some dialogue with staff to try and develop some protocols and a plan to bring forward to us.
Yeah, it's in its early stages right now, since I'm all new at this. I talked to Stephanie Simic the other night at the meeting over there at the Red Lion in Olympia, and kind of gave her some ideas, and she gave me some good feedback. So it's just in the beginning stages, so just kind of hoping.
Well, the department has some really qualified people that I think will tell you what's doable, what's not doable,
yeah.
Kind of shorten the learning curve so this can perhaps evolve into something that works for all.
Yeah, I hope so, because I'd love to see the Houndman back in Washington.
I think you're sensing the encouragement from us.
Oh, heck yeah.
To pursue that, you know.
Oh, you bet.
Commissioner Thurman.
Curious, because I think of hounds and treeing, but you mentioned coyotes. What do hounds do with coyotes?
It's unfortunate. They bait up for the most part. They like coyotes. I guess from what I hear from people from like Wyoming, Idaho, that run coyotes with dogs, and it's very effective. They bait up, so basically they circle it up in a culvert or, you know, in a hay bale or something like that. So they run them until basically they get tired and they get bait up, and the dogs sit there and bay them up. Instead of like treeing, you know, they're barking at the tree,
Yeah. They're
actually running dogs, and they'll actually run them and corner them and just bay them up and waiting for the hunter to show up, pull their dogs off, or, you know, harvest the animal.
Is it something that could be used for hazing in urban areas where coyotes become problems?
It could, yeah. If you got some good dogs to bay them up in the urban areas, yeah, it could be effective, you bet. You know, but it's the time, it's on how far the coyotes will run, too. I mean, sometimes they go miles.
Yeah.
You know, so in urban areas, yeah, I mean, eastern Washington, I can see it super effective on farmers' farms and, you know, or even, you know, chicken farmers or minks.
Yeah, well, personal story. I just looked out my door 2 days ago, and there was a coyote actually taking a chicken off my front porch. So.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I mean, in
yeah.
in other states, I've watched it, and I don't, you know, I haven't talked to really the wildlife on how well effective it is, but it seemed like, you know, instead of, you know, you're trying to call the coyote out, you know, you can send the dogs out and, you know, see if what comes up of it.
You know, you mentioned, you know, hazing, and we've had some serious issues with coyotes on farms that it's very difficult to manage, you know, find ways to deal with them. It seems like that might be an opportunity for training. You know, they run for miles, so your dogs would get a lot of exercise.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, and I mean, they're using a lot of big running dogs, too. I mean, even greyhounds, you know, because they're so fast.
Sure.
You know, but that, again, they have to see it, you know, or a hound, you know, or a sight hound and a scent hound are, you know, completely different. But, sure. You know, the breeding right now, you know, they can breed that in to make it effective. Mm-hmm. You know, and then with proper training to just bay it up and not kill it, or, you know, mm-hmm. because, I mean, the coyote, you know, probably try to defend itself, but, you know, if you don't want to harvest it or anything like that, I mean, you know, they can hopefully just bay it up.
Right. Well, that might be an effective method for a good solution to a problem we have with a lot of ranches.
Yeah, so.
Thank you, and I encourage you to, again, keep pursuing this. And also, I think, you know, I've been out with hounds before, and it's very impressive when it all works. I mean, it's a great experience. I would encourage you to invite some folks from the media to come out with you.
Yeah, we've reached out to just try to, you know, if the public wants to come out, you know. And we did that through we had a booth at the Washington State Fair. And, you know, had a sign-up list. Anybody wants to come out, just experience, you know. I told him, I won't harvest an animal. If you are out here just to shoot something, ain't coming. You know, it's just that image.
Well, thanks for being the leader of the council.
All right, well, thank you.
Dave Duncan, please. And Tim, it's up to you.
Good morning. For the record, Tim Hamilton, Twin Harbors Fish and Wildlife Advocacy. I came up here today to talk to Miranda Wecker. We're going to do this out in the colony style and put all the cards on the table face up. When we got started out there with our fight over transparency and trying to figure out how to manage resources, Miranda, you inspired a lot of people. You also took a lot of them off. I never saw a person who could get a group of people together where they swore by you and swore at you at the same time. And out in the colonies where we have a low gene pool, that can get sometimes very personal. And yet you stood there. That was amazing. And we'd have occasional conversation. Your respect for the commission is an entity. Your respect for your opponents was refreshing. Today, public policy is a contact sport. And you did real well. As we went through thousands of public documents, we saw people refer to you as a lightning rod. And I thought, I don't think that meant complimentary, but it was accurate. You got people up out of the rocking chair to come swing at you and swing with you. That was apparently some kind of a crime to go out and motivate people to practice citizenship. So as a result, the powers be tried to run you out of Dodge. You do the darndest imitation of John Wayne. Not so fast, Pilgrim. And the fight was on. You didn't have a lot to gain. You didn't have a lot of skin in this game, Rand. $200 a month in per diem? Are you kidding me? But let me tell you what you did do. You read the statute. You don't work for the governor. You don't work for the legislature. You work for the people. You got a job to do. You defended this commission, this identity, this thing that gave us all the hope as to why we could engage. And you did that. Amazing. Lightning rod, put it on your mantle. What the heck did they want you to be? An old coat hanger in a closet? You only could be here so long. You made a difference. So we aren't going to, we'll follow it this way. Western style. You shoot straight. You sit tall in the saddle. You don't run at the first sight of controversy. So because of that, these three old goats and I will saddle up and ride with you anywhere, anytime, any place. We didn't come here to tell you goodbye. Gas is expensive and we have to pay for parking in the garage. So we tell you, we want you to go home, recharge your batteries, figure out your new role, and get ready to meet us in the middle of the playing field in downtown Aberdeen and Raymond. We need you. I'll end it in this Western theme. Go back to the old days of Roy Rogers. Happy trails to you, Miranda. Until we meet again. Salute.
Thank you, Tim. Sarah Ryan, please. And Dave, yours.
Yeah, good morning. And I thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Dave Duncan. I live at 4636 Weaver Road in Ellensburg. I am the Wildlife Rancher Sportsman ESA Committee Chair for Washington Cattlemen's Association. I'm also a WAG member, where I represent Washingtonians for Wildlife Conservation, the largest sportsman and hunter group in the state. If congressmen and legislators can read their notes, I guess an old cattleman can, because I need to. I'm here today to say thank you to Miranda Wecker for her longtime service to the state of Washington on this board. I had a pretty hard act to follow here, but I'll give my shot at it. Thank you, Miranda, for understanding the values of hunters, livestock producers, agriculturalists, and rural communities. Thank you for also understanding the importance of our contributions to wildlife and their habitats, be it hunted game or non-game species. I'll quickly address one of our most controversial subjects, wolves. I've been involved from the beginning and was somewhat taken back when then-director Jeff Goins told us zero wolves on the landscape is not an option. I remember well talking to and testifying before Miranda and the commission on the state wolf recovery plan when it contained little of any wolf management. I believe back in that era only two or three commissioners heard or understood what we had to say, but I knew that Miranda did. In the last few months of its development, the title was changed to the Wolf Conservation and Management Plan, thanks to Miranda's vision and leadership. Today, a partial resolve to this contentious social issue is in the form of the Wolf Lifestyle Protocol that was developed by the department and WAG this spring. We would never have come to any agreement with just a wolf recovery plan. We needed the Wolf Conservation and Management Plan as a guideline. Thank you, Miranda. When the Wolf Conservation and Management Plan was passed by the commission in December of 2011, thanks to Miranda's vision and leadership, and in the last few months of its development, the title, I already did that, and I lost my place, I'm sorry. When the Wolf Conservation Management Plan was passed by the commission in December of 2011, I was sick because, in my opinion, it still contains a lot of subjective science as to recovery objectives, numbers, recovery regions, breeding pairs, and etc. that was needed for sustainability and delisting. I was all but ready to join the 3S movement. Miranda encouraged me to hang in there and to reread the management part of that plan. In April of 2012, along came the commission position on wolves in Washington. It's a very, very visionary document on future wolf management and people management, and it was signed by Miranda. And in reading the document, it gave me hope and a reason to be proactive, and it gave us all a strategic path forward along with guidelines, principles, objectives, and concerns. There has always been a dog-eared copy, got one right here, on my desk. and I highly recommend that everybody, including the present commissioners and the department, read it again for reverence. Thank you, Miranda. To discuss one of my concerns, I've always got to get in a lick. 5 years have gone by, and my biggest disappointment in the process to date is that I cannot find anybody brave enough to start working on the priority objective in the commission's position statement, and that is a long-term post-delisting plan. In my mind, it has always been of utmost importance to define and commit to where we want or need to go before starting the journey. Without a long-term delisting plan, we will never build the trust, agree on the action, stay the course, let alone agree on the tools necessary to achieve the goal or develop the social tolerance that is needed, not only for wolves on the landscape, but the social tolerance needed by some people for wolf management activities that are necessary to achieve and maintain the overall goal of a sustainable wolf population. All of the ingredients for the long-term post-delisting plan are contained in this document and the wolf plan, as written by Miranda and the commission over 5 years ago. Thank you, Miranda. By not following up on the priority objective, and by the commission in WAG empowering the radicals and animal rights folks when their concerns are, to quote former Director Konings, not an option. This has led to the present management crisis that affects the public safety of staff and livestock producers. Enough said for today on wolves. Miranda, you have been an inspiration and a guiding light for all of us. Thank you. I will miss your sincere and smiling face on this commission. The people of Washington State and the wildlife of Washington will also miss you. Your vision for the future, along with your holistic approach to wildlife and people management, which is the name of the game. Miranda, thank you again, and I thank all the commissioners for allowing me this extra time. Lacking full time to testify, I'll also hand in my written thoughts and concerns on wolf management. Please take the time to read it. I would like to now introduce Sarah Rand. Sarah is the new Executive Vice President of the Washington Cattlemen's Association. You'll find her great to work with. She's easier on your eyes, smarter, and not as opinionated and cranky as I am. Sarah Rand.
Thank you very much, Dave. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
From all of us. So, Sarah, with that introduction, it's your time.
Hard to follow the last two.
1 month on the job, so just to ask you a question, she's really not going to get testimony. I just wanted to get a point.
Yeah, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah.
All right. So my name is Sarah Ryan. I grew up in Pullman area. My family farms and ranches there. I spent plenty of time in school getting so far as a master's. Went to Kansas State so I could leave Pullman and experience something outside of the beautiful Palouse country. Decided humidity was not my friend, so I found a way back to the Northwest, and I've been back working in the Northwest for 8 years now, and just recently got hired by the Washington Cattlemen's Association. So that's kind of my background. From the last two presenters, it sounds like I'm missing a great opportunity to work with Miss Miranda, but I look forward to getting to know the rest of you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Where is your office?
Ellensburg.
What kind of farming and ranching did your family do?
So they have cow-calf pairs and then wheat farm. So they're in the midst of harvest right now.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it's been interesting.
Do you know our resident commissioner of cows over there?
I don't. I know his name. So.
Yeah. Is that from the post office wall or something?
Right. actually know where Anatone is and have been there. So that's something, right?
That will change.
Yes.
You can see the skyscrapers from a distance. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, welcome. I'm sure we'll have the opportunity to engage with you on many different activities and work collaboratively for everything.
So. And we do like Porterhouse.
Okay, I'll remember that.
No, I was going to say something like that, but our attorney general would yell at us.
He's welcoming her aboard.
Okay. I've also heard, oh, you're from Ellensburg. That Irish death that's made there, that's pretty good. So, you know.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And I know I speak for all of the commission. Thank you, the gentleman that spoke so highly of our colleague. I guess it's not a secret now. I didn't know who to tell. But so, this is Miranda's last meeting with us. So, we will miss her as well. And thank you for your kind words. Yes.
I didn't expect a lot of things in joining the commission and now leaving the commission. It's incredibly moving to me to hear such kind words. I've been getting very sweet emails, and it's brought home to me when I've seen other commissioners leave the commission. I've seen the kind of emotion that comes out of the human relationships that you build over the years. And I have so many great memories and so many important moments that I will recall throughout the rest of my life with great feelings of gratitude, gratification, significance, meaning, all those big words. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Tim. Some of my favorite people on the planet. I've enjoyed the times that we've struggled through talking about how this department can be made better, challenging environments. I truly appreciate both of you tremendously, and your passion, your dedication brought to light different perspectives for me. But thank you so much. I'm tearing up. I really am happy to be moving on to the next period of my life. But this is so sweet. It's just so meaningful to me to hear that from the public. This is what we are here for, to be your conduit to the management of the department, to listen to you, to try to embrace what you're telling us and make things better. So thank you so much.
You know it's heartfelt when you make a lawyer cry.
Yes. I'm not that emotional.
Thank you all. And